Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 21. And reading this entire portion, which is the conclusion of John's Gospel. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way: Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus was manifest to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore this saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. This morning we come to the conclusion of our small series of sermons where we have looked to the Gospel of John and finding where Jesus comes face to face with numerous individuals, men and women, some anonymous, some bearing a name that we know, and we find how that Jesus deals with each and every one of them from various backgrounds, very contrasting. But here we are reminded as we come for the second time to Jesus dialoguing with Peter, coming nose to nose with him, here as he had done when Jesus came to him and said, "Peter, I'm going to wash your feet." And Peter said, "Nothing doing, Lord. You're not washing my feet." And Jesus says to him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Peter, tender heart that he was, though he could also be rough, he says, "Lord, then not just my feet, but my head and my hands. I want all that you have for me." The disciples had heard Jesus before speak, "Follow me." We go to Mark chapter 1 and we hear in verses 16 and 17 of Jesus as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon, that's Peter, and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them. Likely he used those very same words, "Follow me," though Mark doesn't record it. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went away to follow him. In John chapter 1, we have the account of how that Jesus, he speaks to Philip in verse 43. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So the disciples, from the very earliest days and hours of their encounter with Jesus, to hear when Jesus is speaking to them, perhaps for the last time as he's about to ascend into heaven. It's post-resurrection, and Jesus has just a little bit of time with them. Jesus is once again speaking to them, "Follow me." That is something that we never get away from, that we never grow out of. It is something that is constant. Well, here in this account, Jesus has appeared to the disciples, but here he comes once again. And just as Jesus had been alongside of the Sea of Galilee to speak to Peter and Andrew, James and John, and to call them to himself, to 3 years of the most intense discipleship training that there could ever be, Jesus here is situated beside the Sea of Galilee. But first of all, we have a little background of Peter not knowing what to do, and so he reverts back to what he knows to do best. He was a fisherman, his father was a fisherman, perhaps generations of men in the family of Peter had plied the waters of the Sea of Galilee. Well, Peter says, "I'm going fishing. I don't know what to do, but I do know how to fish." Others said to him, "We're coming too. You're not going alone." So they go out, and Peter likely had known that body of water pretty well. He probably knew all of the tricks, and he knew where to find fish when no one else could possibly find them. But though they were out there and they were equipped, they were ready for the task, they were stripped for work, they were catching nothing. Interesting that Jesus, he had fish, but the disciples, they had none, though so well equipped. But the night passes, day is breaking, And Jesus is standing on the seashore wanting to deal with these disciples who thought that the 3 years was over and that they could go back now to business as usual. But the plain lesson is that life cannot be normal, whatever normal is. Life cannot be normal after you have an encounter with Jesus. Life cannot be normal once Jesus enters into the picture. That is, once God Himself comes into a life. So day is breaking. Jesus is on the beach. He's on the seashore. The disciples, they're blind. They're unwitting to who it is who's standing there in the distance. But Jesus, He initiates. And He says, "Children, any fish?" Well, that's kind of a rough thing to answer. Who hasn't been a fisherman and come up empty-handed and have to admit that there was nothing except the sheer pleasure of being out there on the lake seeking for that elusive fish? "No," they say to Him. Perhaps there were some other ears who heard it and snickered. But Jesus, He tells them something that they thought likely was kind of crazy, but they do it anyways. The boat would not have been large, and so to cast a net on one side or the other, what's the difference? But Jesus tells them, "Cast on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So likely, they take one half step, maybe one full step, after having yanked the net out of the one side, across this little boat, and they throw the net in on the other side, and suddenly the unthinkable happens. The fish that they had pursued all night long and had come up empty-handed, suddenly the net seems like it is about to break because there is such a great haul of fish. John, as he writes his gospel, is very hesitant to name himself and how he enters into the picture. He describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this disciple whom Jesus loved, he speaks up and he nudges Peter and he says, "It is the Lord." Now, of course, we all know the account of how that Peter, in great intensity and in great boast, had said to Jesus earlier, "Even if all of these other characters around the table deny you, even if they disown you, I will not." Peter had messed up. Peter had messed up pretty bad. And how that speaks to each of our hearts. Peter heard that it was the Lord, and his outer garment he grabs and whips it around him, and he throws himself into the sea. It wasn't that he just jumped in. It was as though his desire to see his Lord once again propelled him into the sea. What do you do when you mess up? Like, I mean really mess up. To the very point of denying the Lord. Do you continue to run from Him? Do you turn into a Jonah that if God is that way, then most certainly I am going that way? Peter did the right thing. All of his brokenness, all of his past, all of his blubbering, all of his brokenness, all of his pride that he wouldn't do what others would do, he brings full front and face to Jesus. Jesus says to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Peter goes, helps them. He didn't totally shirk his duty. 153, and the net not torn. Jesus invites them to breakfast. a men's breakfast of wondrous proportion. And none of the disciples ventured to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and the fish likewise, almost communion style, it would seem. And this the third time that Jesus was manifested to his disciples. Now, Jesus zeroes in on Peter. He was there especially for that appointment that he would have with Peter, and here it comes. Three questions, essentially identical. Simon, not just any Simon, the Simon that's right in front of me, the son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter had turned his attention away from what he had previously set his hand to in being a disciple of Jesus, and he was back where he had become so accustomed on the Sea of Galilee, back in the boat that he had probably used time and time again, pulling on the ropes that he knew every rough spot and using those strong muscles once again. He was back in his own element, thinking that he could sort of pick up and go on and do what his own smarts, his own skills, and his own strength would provide. But Jesus had other work for him. Jesus meant it when he said, "Simon, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." Simon was no longer to be a fisher of fish. He was to be a gatherer. He was to be a fisher of men. He was to hold out to them a hook that had on it gospel truth, that they might come to know true life. So Jesus says to him, "Simon, do you love me more than these things?" Peter answers, "Yes, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Tend my lambs." Question number two. Here it comes again. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Same question, same answer. But Jesus responds, "Shepherd my sheep." And even as Jesus had been denied by Peter three times, Jesus now asks Simon, "Simon, we need to settle this. We need to make the account right. Simon, I want you to be thinking this very clearly. I want you to consider what I'm asking of you, because there is going to come a day when you are going to stretch out your hands and they are going to impale you. They are going to nail you to a cross." First century history tells us that Peter refused to be crucified in the same way as Jesus, but that he asked that they crucify him upside down, considering that he was not worthy to be crucified in the same way in which Jesus was. Jesus knew what was on ahead, and Jesus says to him, "Simon, Peter, let's hear it once again. Do you really love me more than the fish that you have caught, more than the nets and the ropes and the boat that you have worked in? Do you love me more than your own life? Do you love me more than those who you have shared fellowship and friendship with? Do you love me more than your own family? Do you love me more than anything that this world has to offer?" Third time, Peter is asked the question, "Do you love me?" Peter, John tells us, was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And all Peter could say was, "Lord, you know all things. You know that all the love in my heart is for you and for you alone." And Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And then verse 18, where Jesus gives the understanding to Peter and to others that his death would not be pretty, but that he would bear witness to the cross. But Jesus, lest Peter start to feel a little bit squeamish, in verse 19, Jesus once again says to Peter, as he said to him 3 years before along that same sea, maybe in that very same spot, Jesus says to him, "Follow me. Follow me." Jesus comes to each and every one of us, and I don't know that there's too many fishermen here. There are a few. There are a few. But Jesus comes to each and every one of us, whether it's in a home or whether it's in an office or a school setting, whether it be in a shop, whether it be in a factory of whatever kind, and Jesus says to us, "Follow me." And he also comes to us when we've messed up, when we've even denied our Lord, and when we have taken the world's way rather than God's way. We've listened to the voice of the serpent rather than the voice of our Heavenly Father. Jesus comes to us once again and he says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Jesus calls us once again, "Follow me." Now Peter, love Peter. As quickly as he hears this, he's curious. What about John? What about these other guys? What's happening with them? If you're going to unfold what's going to happen with me, I'd like to know what's going to happen with them. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. And Peter says, "What about this man?" And Jesus once again says, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" Many times people have come to me and they've said, "Did you hear? Do you know what's going on?" I say, "You know what? What goes on over there is none of my business. It doesn't do me any good or you any good to consider that. What is that to you?" Those people answer to another master, "I am not it. If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me, Peter," Jesus says. And Jesus comes to each and every one of us. When we have our curious questions and we say, "Lord, I'd like to know this and this and this and this. I'd like a little more detail here and here and here." And Jesus says, "Follow me. Follow me. Follow me." Deep in the Old Testament, I love the story of Elijah, how that he bested the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. But then, in utter despair, he prayed that God would take away his life. But God came to him and he said, "Elijah, there's still work to do." Here, Jesus comes to Peter and in similar way, he says, "Peter, you're not done yet. There's still work to be done. Let's get at it. Follow me." Is there someone here today who would say, "You know, I'm a bit of a write-off. I walked with the Lord, but I've turned my back upon him"? The Lord would call to you, "Follow me." As he called you the first time, he calls you now, "Follow me." Is there someone here who has never surrendered your life to Christ, and you are hearing this as for the first time? Hear it as Jesus is there along the Sea of Galilee. "Follow me, follow me, follow me alone." Bow with me in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for how that you dealt with Peter so long ago. Thank you for how that you continue to deal with men and women. And I pray that there would be hearts that are tender here who would hear not my voice, but your voice saying, "Follow me. My dear child, come walk with me. Let me cleanse you afresh. Let me work in your heart. Let's make something beautiful out of your life. Lord, for the new believer, for those who have strayed away, oh God, so work. And may we truly follow your voice, the voice of the great and good shepherd, now and always, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.